integrative health info at its best. It's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hey there. Oh my gosh. Meditation and stress reduction. Can everybody hear me okay?
Hearing you great.
Great. Awesome. Well, I was going to get really completely stressed out if you couldn't, because I am calling in off the road doing a little lecturing, but I wanted to make it for It's Your Health at an 8 Rocket Science, and I've got Dr. Decker with me. So let's talk about meditation and stress reduction. Uh-huh. This is a really interesting subject to me because when I was going through my bachelor's program in nursing school, we had this one class that started and ended with meditation. And back then when I was a little punk, if you asked me to like to sit down and meditate, I probably would have rather stuck a pencil, just sharp pencil, in my eye because it just made me freak out. Dr. Decker, when you hear meditation or think about meditation, what does it make you feel? How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, meditation in any study and every study that you've ever looked at with meditation, it works. It simply does. Whether you're looking at serious life-threatening heart arrhythmias to basic stress, we also know everything about it. We know how it works. It reduces cortisol, one of those wired and tired compounds that loves to float through our body at the wrong times. We know the only thing that gets in the way between my patients and meditation is sometimes religion, because a lot of my patients will be Christian or different faiths that the word meditation itself is sort of taboo. And I'll try and it comes up a lot because I have a lot of patients that are Jehovah's Witnesses and born-again Christian scientists. All of those patients to different degrees, depending a lot on their pastor, will say, well, I don't meditate because that's it's a pagan religion or it's a different thing. And we'll shift it over to sort of a different form of prayer. And I'll have them meet with their pastors to do it. It gets to be in the way, though.
That's really interesting. I had no idea you were going to go that way with this conversation because, you know, I think that that's very, very interesting because I think that you hit my point anyway, that meditation, in an essence, is heavily connotated, and therefore, I think, misunderstood. Maybe you'll think of transcendental meditation, mm-hmm. Or a certain kind of meditation that puts you in that does have a religiosity connotation to it. For me, though, I think when it comes to stress reduction and the word meditation, I think we should take the connotation out of it. I think we should actually really be able to help people understand that it's simply taking your mind and your body from a sympathetic do loop, which I call it. All right. So like,
that's a great term.
A sympathetic do loop, meaning you just are on fire and on fight or flight all the time. And we've talked about this before. It doesn't mean, you know, if we had a more natural relationship with stress and we were, you know, oh my gosh, what would it be? It could be maybe every other week there was the locusts were coming and we had to protect our crops and we'd have to respond to that stressor, mm-hmm. or pregnancy was actually a stressor back then, or an actual bear we would have to run from. But these days, all the time, chronic stressors that we respond to, we're not moving at all to get away from them, which is what our body is designed to do when we mount a stress response. And we have this chronic response to stress, and that's called a sympathetic part of our autonomic nervous system being overworked. I believe meditation and or whatever you want to call it, I call it parasympathetic activity. Where do you unburden? Now, breathing is a place where you can actually focus your attention and start to unburden. I think there's also places, I know runners that call their activity of running their meditation. It's where their mind quiets down. It's where they can think through problems. There are people, I think, that do other things. Maybe it's a ritual like riding the bus or simply walking. Before the show, I'm in a hotel room right now, and so I know that I can get a little bit more wonky and bonkers if I'm just like in these four walls. And so I had to go out and I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere. So I just took a couple laps around, got my blood flowing. And that was sort of a meditation for me just to kind of settle down, shake it all off. And so I think that we need to reframe meditation so people can understand really what it's doing and what it is. And so we can get the benefits. Just like you said, Dr. Weiss, you know, the studies are there. It works.
It works.
Anywhere from, yeah.
It really is. Which one of the gazillion methods do you use? And that's what I talk to about my patients that may be conflicted, that meditation is, oh, that's what the hippies do, or, you know, because I deal with a lot of seniors. And so I let them know that, yeah, but did you ever have a session where you're praying in church and you felt really calm and comfortable at peace? And I said, yeah. I said, well, that's meditation. All right. It is, as you said, it's going to that relaxed place. You do something very interesting with patients that I need to do more of, Holly, and that is that you say to them, take 15, 20 minutes a day, and you actually instruct that medically for them to do that. I think that would be a very good tool to share what you're doing in your office to get people started in this relaxation technique, which maybe was what you called. How do you approach your patients about that, and how do you frame that?
Yeah, so it works, you know, and you say 10, 15, 20 minutes. Guess what? Some people are only able to actually get to about a minute. They can only come up, so I call it intended parasympathetic activity. Hey, what's that? Opposite of sympathetic activity, where you rest and you relax and you repair. That's what it is. So for each person, it's where they unburden. For me, anytime I'm outside, like I just got to get, if there's some wildlife, you know, if I can just see a little animal or something, I love it. And it reminds me, I have my mind programmed for the most part to, hey, don't sweat the small stuff. And guess what? It's pretty much all small stuff, especially when you're hanging out in that place, that parasympathetic place. Mm-hmm. I have a gentleman who is a patient of mine. He works on the East Coast. He lives on the West Coast. By the time he gets up, he has 3 hours of emails just flushing at him. And so we've talked about what's going to work. He does a power pause before he turns on any gadget that's going to show him work, because if not, he is shot out of the cannon early in the morning.
Pause.
Power pause. So he started out only 30 seconds, thinking about his family, thinking about his daughters, thinking about what matters. He couldn't stand it. Like, and then each week, he kind of built on it. Can I breathe? Can I regulate my vital signs? Can I get into that deep breath? Not only breathing in, because a lot of us, we can breathe in. We forget breathe out. And breathing out is that... It's the waste product. It's the carbon dioxide. We have to breathe out fully. And so he's up to about 6 or 7 minutes. So he sits there, and hey, we could call it meditation, but he sits there before he starts working and grounds himself in what really matters.
It's interesting that you say that. We go through these things, and I've said to my patients, I said, do you think this job is going to kill you? And I'll say it right to them. And some of them will say, yeah, I think so. Or do you think this relationship is going to kill you? And or also phrase it, do you think that this is taking years off your life? And a friend of mine is going through stress with his son right now. And I asked him, do you think this could kill you or take years off your life? He goes, absolutely, without even hesitation. When you want to talk about claiming some of that back, you always talk about credits, Holly. When you talk about trying to claim some of that back, and you know, you can lose years due to stress, but you can gain them back. We're these, you know, infinitely healable, amazing creatures. We're not cars that you change oil on. We're humans that regenerate when given the opportunity to, when you remove all those obstacles. When I think about meditation, when I think about prayer, when I think about getting to that parasympathetic space, I think almost about building credits, like health credits, like you'll say. That clearly goes into the good column. And I study a lot of neurotransmitters now, and I'm doing a lot of that brain work. And when you talk about resetting cortisol and serotonin and epinephrine, that's what that does. It hits the breaker, and it resets it. And that's why every study's so good.
It's exactly. And so I'm going to let you close this down. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you one more thing about this conscious sort of parasympathetic place, a.k.a. meditation. It's not quantity that counts. It's quality. It's what works for you. And it's also consistency. So every day, even if it's 1 minute, every day.
Meditation and stress reduction. Your cardiologist recommends it. Your psychiatrist recommends it. Your psychologist recommends it. More importantly, Dr. Holly Lucille recommends it as well as I do. What we're talking about is meditation and stress reduction. We're talking about tools. When your doctor says, go home and work on your stress, that doesn't work anymore. You need a tool. When you go home, you need a tool to work on that stress. And that's what we do at Radio MD. We give you tools to go home. Start with 1 minute. Take a breath, think about what's important before you power up your day, and see if you can grow that to stay healthy.